Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Joe, I hate the Bills schedule.
Oh, okay.
I've come down on hate it. Think it stinks. Terrible.
All right. I am so. This is like the one year that I'm just very indifferent on the schedule.
Why? I would expect you to have a more. Even though I actually, let me take that back. I would expect somebody who has season tickets to have a more visceral reaction, positively or negatively, to the Bills' schedule. That doesn't apply to, because you are just like, oh yeah, whatever, I'll go, and you know, like, it doesn't matter. You know, they could play actually every single game on Christmas, just like 8 games back to 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 back.
I'll be there,
and you'd be like, yeah, okay, that sounds fine.
It's that line, you'll be there, what you said, that's been a point of contention in the house. Well, you'll go no matter what. Yeah, I will. You're right. I am happy that actually there are no holiday games at home. I am happy that decision did not have to be made. Obviously, I was going to stay home, guys. Come on. But it was...
yeah. Sure.
I'm very indifferent. You know, I loved last year, and we talked about this, I feel like, when the schedule came out last year. I loved the season starting with a 1 o'clock game. Like, you got that old feel, and this is the last season in the stadium. I want to get that home opening feel. The sun's out. I'm getting burnt to a crisp. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of home opener. It's 8:20. Okay, first time in 24 years you open at home on a Sunday night. But, you know, I knew the opponents, and I love that the last two games are at home, right? Really get to take in the final season of Highmark. But, you know, it is what it is.
A couple things. There are a few things that I do like.
Okay.
I do love that Eagles game, second last week of the season. Like, that is a big time to me, kind of like the Detroit game was last year, which I think that was in the last
three or four weeks,
where it's like, all right, these are two, you know, top team from each conference possible. You'll have everyone, hopefully, you'll have everyone leading up to that game being like, will we see this matchup again a month from now in the Super Bowl? Like, that is... I like that type of matchup. I love that Kansas City is a 4:25 kickoff in the middle of the season. Like, that's perfect.
Yep.
There will be a lot of hype going into the game. Both teams will have a ton to play for. That should be a fun one. Those two things I like. Everything else about the schedule, absolutely hate it. Number one thing for me that I was looking for, I've been looking forward to for over a year. I'm like, all right, they've got Pittsburgh and Cleveland away on the schedule. Perfect road trips for us to take, because I do like going to see the Bills on the road.
Yeah,
it's a fun trip, you know, a couple days, you get in there the day before, settle down, you know, walk around, enjoy yourself, go to the game, drive back the next. It's a fun time.
It's a nice getaway.
It's a nice little getaway, and it's like, all right, you got two that are 3-hour drives away. You're probably, it's not going to be a crazy expensive game to go to, especially the Cleveland one, compared to other NFL games, which we'll get to the ticket prices in just a little bit. But I'm thinking, all right, like, that'll be fun. Then the schedule comes out. Pittsburgh on November 30th, Cleveland on December 21st. I mean, never mind that they're both right by holidays, which that kind of throws another wrench into it, but just late November, late December in Pittsburgh and Cleveland. No, that's not what I want. I don't want to be walking around Cleveland, Ohio at the end of December. Like, that doesn't sound fun at all to me.
You also don't want to have to plan a road trip now for mid-December in what could be, you know, I don't know, not the best conditions.
No, thanks. I've been looking forward to that, and then you see it, they're both late in the season. Like, that stinks. And then the beginning of the season. This is where I would think, if I were a season ticket holder, I'd be like, ugh, hate this once again. But, you know, it's the second year in a row. Three of the first four home games, and really, there's only four home games in the first 2 months of the season. So, 75% of the games in the first 2 months of the season are primetime games, where if you're going to the game, all right, I'm a little different looking at this again because we get to work so early. So it's a little bit different if you have like a typical 9-to-5 job or you start around there. It could be different because I remember pulling out the late nights and then going to work in the morning. Not that much of an issue. But you're looking at a Sunday night game, a Thursday night game, a Sunday night game. Those are all games where I'm like, I'm going to have to take a day off of work before. And then there's only one 1 o'clock Sunday game in that little stretch there at the beginning of the season. So if I'm a season ticket holder, I'm looking at that going like, ah, that kind of stinks. And then if I'm me, I was just talking with Howard, like, I hate that it messes with the flow of getting into the season. Again, this is very age dependent. It's lifestyle dependent. So I can only speak for me, but I think a lot of people are in the same boat. I love season kicks off 1 o'clock on a Sunday. You get a bunch of people together. You have a Bills season opening party. It's a whole lot of fun. You're with people who you're going to be watching games. So maybe not every game, maybe not everybody for every game, but you bring all the people together who you know you're going to watch another game with at least throughout the season. I'm not doing that at 8:20 on a Sunday. Everyone has kids. Like, kids are in bed. I'm going to be watching that game alone on my couch. It doesn't feel like a great kickoff to a season when it's just going to be, you know, me. And my wife will be like, oh, you know, I'll stay up with you. And then, you know, after a quarter, she'll be like, all right, I'm going to bed.
I can actually get on board with that. Like I said, I mean, to me, it was, I looked at the, first time in 24 years. But, you know, I told my wife, I go, hey, 8:20. Home opener against Baltimore. She goes, yeah, I can't go to that. I said, but we've gone to every home opener together, except for COVID, obviously, since we've been together. She goes, yeah, I'm not. She goes, I'll do the Miami game because your birthday is the next day, and I'll take off, and we can, you know, take a long weekend. But I'm not taking off a random Monday. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'll find someone to go with.
But that's kind of the thing.
Yeah. No, I completely am on board with that. It is annoying that three of the first four home games are after 8 o'clock.
The prices of the games right now, ticket prices are, you know, they are what they are right now. They're going to change throughout the year as you get closer to the season, as you get closer to the game, obviously. But the initial prices at the box office and then what you see on the secondary market, I think, reflect that. Home opener, always going to be one of those games. And especially you got a team like Baltimore, it's a rematch of the playoffs. You know, two teams, everyone says, you know, it's really Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City as the teams that everyone looks at and says, okay, this is it. Like, one of these teams, you're going to make it out of the AFC. So that's going to be a really expensive one. Other than that, though, the next most expensive game, the only game that rivals Baltimore, it's actually the same price at $283 to get in if you're looking to buy a single game seat, is the game against the New Orleans Saints. Why? Well, it's the only game in September or October that's at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. So it's the only game for a lot of people that you look at and say, oh, I can do this without having to worry about work the next day.
I never even put that together, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
The game the next week, you'd think, oh, New England Patriots, Sunday night football. What a huge game in the beginning of October. Weather will probably still be nice. That is the least expensive game to get into of the Bills' home schedule, tied with the Bucks game, at a still whopping $155. And by the way, that is the cheapest ticket. That's not an average price. That's not anything. That is, if you want the cheapest ticket in the top row or the corner of the 300s, it's $155 to get in through the box office or secondary market. Unbelievable. Yeah. Cheapest game that I found, home or away, the entire schedule, there's only one game that I saw the get-in price is under $100. And that's the Bills at Cleveland at $91. So if you want to go to Cleveland and be outside at the top of their stadium on the edge of the lake in the middle of Christmas week, you can go for $91. Other than that, everything is over $100, and you're talking some of these home games almost $300 as the get-in price.
Wow. Yeah, that New Orleans game, I didn't even think of it being 1 o'clock and that just having such appeal to people. You know, getting a game that, like you said, it's not going to ruin my Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to have an effect on my Monday. The first three of the first four.
So only two scheduled 1 o'clock home games the entire season.
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy to think. All those years, I mean, we were told that the Bills don't want Ralph owned the team still, the Bills don't want any primetime games at home. I mean, that was what we always heard. And now there's only two games on the entire schedule, home at 1 o'clock. Kind of crazy. But I just for that, like, getting into the groove of things, like, I'm looking at the schedule until November. You know, what, there's probably two games, maybe, that I'll end up watching with other people.
That's crazy. But, I mean, I think a lot of people are in that same boat. Like you said, I mean, you gotta, you have kids, you have a job, you have a life outside of the Bills. You got to worry about that. That's still there in February. You know what I mean?
You talk to me in my 20s?
Oh, yeah.
You know, early 20s. All right, let's go out for the game on Sunday night or Thursday night or whatever it is. Yes. Like, you know, that won't be a problem.
We used to leave work and go tailgate.
Yeah, yeah. Even, you know, go over to someone's house. Sure. Like, nowadays, not so much.
No.
I think that's probably true.
I can't, you know, and if you try, like, I know, hey, you're going to hear Joe Beamer on Memorial Day or the 4th of July because I got to take that Monday after the home opener, because if I tried to just come to work after not getting home till 1, that throws off your whole week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel rested until Wednesday.
No. Yeah. Not a chance. 803-0930 to join us this morning, talking about this and a lot more. The price is, I mean, that's the other thing. So I look at the schedule, and then I kind of look to go through and see what it would cost to go to the game. Some of the numbers you see being thrown around are a little ridiculous, and I go by get-in price. I don't go by the average price, which you see in a lot of places, because I saw average price being thrown around for some games on like online by, I mean, some big media companies is like $1,200 as the average price, and it's like, I'm sorry, there's no way the average person is paying $1,200. Most of the people are paying season ticket prices to get in. You know, the average listed price right now might be that, but even that, I think you're looking at the get-in price. What's the cheapest ticket available? And the cheapest ticket available to some of these games is, I don't know, it's crazy. I was just texting back and forth with some friends. Someone said, welcome to the NFL, where it's just you cannot find a ticket that you don't look at and say, that's insane. Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. We were talking about Miami. It's a trip a lot of people like to make.
Yep.
The Bills game at Miami. And, you know, it's when you compare it to the other games on the schedule, you can trick yourself into thinking, like, oh, that's not bad. But then if you, like, do it just in a vacuum and you look at the cost associated with it, you like slap yourself in the face and go like, what are you talking about? So the Miami game is actually one of the cheaper games to go to. If you're just looking for the get-in price, the cheaper ticket in Miami, $139 a ticket for the least expensive ticket that's on the market right now in Miami. So again, that's one of the, it's on the cheaper side. It's cheaper than any Bills home game,
right?
Ticket-wise, and most of the road games too.
Wow.
And then you look at a flight to go to Miami, and you're talking about $260 round trip, is what I saw as some of the cheaper options to go from Saturday to Monday, from Buffalo to Miami or Fort Lauderdale.
Two expensive days to fly, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's how it falls.
Unless you stay a whole week.
Yeah, which is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, like you can come back on Tuesday for way less expensive, but then you're spending another day.
Yeah.
So you spend the money one way or another.
Yep.
So you add it all together, two people, just to fly and go to the game, so not even counting what you'd pay to stay somewhere, I mean, that's $800. You know, no food, no lodging, anything like that. And I'm like, whoa, $800 to go to a football game. You remove yourself and go, what the heck is going on? Like, I can't believe that that's the price.
To put that in perspective, you could go out to Vegas for 4 days, flight and 4 nights at Treasure Island, and spend $800. And that's the hotel and the flight. This is without a hotel. Like, most people need somewhere to stay if they're flying to Miami.
Yeah.
Most people are going to need somewhere to stay and maybe get a meal or two in the time that you're there.
Probably won't camp out at the airport until game time.
No. And, you know, you might want a drink or two in the stadium. There's another $800.
Yeah, that's true. But just the price of that, and then the price of getting into a game. I'm wondering for people who don't have season tickets who are looking to go to one more game, because this would be the year. A lot of people say, myself included, I would love to go to one more game in the final year of the stadium. If you see those prices, so the cheapest seat to the cheapest game at home this year is $155. And it goes all the way up to near $300 for the cheapest seat to the most expensive game this year. When you see those prices and you were thinking, all right, last year at the stadium, I kind of want to go. Do you still think the same thing? You can let us know on that, 803-0930.
Yeah, I can't put myself in that situation. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's a limit. For me, there's even a limit. Like, I'm not going to put out a lot of money just to say, hey, I was here at the last game. You know, I got to, I have other bills to pay.
156 I found on a secondary site for the home finale.
Against the Jets.
Yes. Last game at the stadium.
And that's like up where I sit for 156 ticket?
Higher, but, you know, I mean, that's the cheapest seat furthest away.
Divisional tickets didn't even cost that much where I sit last year.
For you. For
that's
season ticket holders.
That's what I mean. Like, in perspective, I don't know if I can justify 150 each just to get into the stadium.
Well, that's another thing. When I say that, does it make, if you have season tickets, and I'm always laughed at when I say season tickets should be more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, like, how could you argue for something to be more expensive? When you hear that and see the discrepancy, and then you figure, moving across the street to the new stadium,
they will be more expensive.
They're going to go for market rate, probably, even if you're a ticket holder. Should the tickets be more expensive? What do you think? 803-0930, you got B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN.
You know, I got to mention this. Sal and I were talking off air before he was on with Susan and you in the 7 o'clock hour, and he mentioned Syracuse playing at Miami the day before the Bills playing at Miami, something I've always hoped for Tech and the Bills to have a back-to-back. But I think that's going to be a draw for some people. You're talking about Rochester-Syracuse fans.
Yeah.
A lot of Rochester-Syracuse and Buffalo Bills fans. I think that's going to be a big draw, and you're going to see maybe more Syracuse fans the day before than you would have if the Bills didn't have that next the game the next day. Nice back-to-back.
Yeah, I think you're right. People in Rochester, because I lived in that area for a few years, they love the Bills. And they love Syracuse football.
Yeah.
And basketball.
And oh, yeah.
Like, they love those two things. So if they're back-to-back, like, yeah, I think that'll be a trip for a lot of people, especially just down the 90 there.
It'll be interesting to see all the orange. Again, no offense to Syracuse, but that probably wouldn't have been there if the Bills weren't playing the next day.
You can't wear orange, though, if you're playing the orange. Or wait, no, you are the orange.
Miami would have to wear their secondary color.
They have to?
The fans, if I were, like, when it's Virginia Tech and UVA, Tech doesn't wear orange.
See, if I'm Miami, I'd be like, no, this is our home. We wear orange. Like, I'm not going to change it for you. Especially, if I'm a Syracuse fan, I'm wearing blue.
I guess so. Yeah, you want to wear the non-competing color.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, Tech will always wear maroon to UVA. You don't want to wear the orange.
They can wear blue. Miami can wear green. And the winner gets orange. That's how you have to set up for the rest of the year.
Literally the Orange Bowl.
It's the Orange Bowl. The loser cannot wear their orange jerseys the rest of the year. I would watch that game. I don't watch like any of these college football games. That game I would watch. What you mean to tell me orange is on the line? I'm there.
These jerseys can't be worn the rest of the year.
That's right.
By the way, Syracuse, if you lose, you can't even call yourself orange.
Come on, you know people. Get that. Run that up the flagpole. Come on, Joe. You know all these people. Make it happen. Go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, you're on WBEN.
Morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good. How are you?
Good. I shot you a text, but I don't know if you got it. But the comment I wanted to make is the price you pay for having a Super Bowl contending successful team are two things. You pay a high price for the tickets, number one. And number two, you got a primetime schedule. You know, they want to put a good team on primetime, and you're putting the top team in football, in my opinion, on primetime. And I think, you know, we were hoping to go to the Tampa game, but I don't know if I want to fly up there in the middle of November. You know, we're thinking about it, though, if the prices are okay. But the prices are probably going to be high. I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're thinking about it. But I just want to ask a quick question. Joe, are you getting excited for the Subway Series this week?
Oh, rivalry weekend. I think the MLB is great at marketing, putting this in the middle of May. Yeah, Dave, right. I can't wait. You got Friday night, Sunday night, and then that pesky Saturday afternoon game. Yeah, I'm excited, and I know last night didn't go so well for the Mets, but I definitely think the Mets are going to go into the Bronx and take 2 of 3.
I love Dave.
Probably. We'll see. I hope so. But anyway, yeah, that was just my comment. But that's the price you're going to pay for having a good football team, in my opinion.
But Dave, so you live in Tampa, right? And you're from Buffalo. You went to games at Highmark. You mentioned you're looking at it. Is it important for you to get one more game in before they tear it down?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking about. Because last year we go to the stadium. Yes, that's why we're looking at hotels and ticket prices and all that. So we're exploring it. And maybe if we buy it now, it'll be cheaper than buying it closer to the game. You know, we'll have to see what happens. But I told my son, you know, start looking for a hotel and the airplane tickets and game tickets. And yeah, it's going to be pricey, no doubt about it. But, you know, if you want to go see them, that's the price you're paying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we're more worried about the weather than we are the ticket prices. You know, November 16th could be 30 degrees there. we'll see, though. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Dave, thanks as always for the call.
All right, enjoy the show, guys. Bye-bye.
The thing about that is, like, the tickets are always only going to be worth what somebody will pay for.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you say that about it. We were talking last week. The Bandits, another thing. Like, the Bandits, it appears that they've kind of reached their limit of what people will pay for them, because you'd think, oh, so many sellouts. Well, once they raise the prices during these playoffs, people find them. It's like, well, yeah, I don't need to see them that much.
Right.
This George Strait concert at the stadium, right? Like, these tickets go on sale. They're wildly expensive. The upper deck, the 300s for that show, was almost completely sold out the day they went on sale.
Yes.
All throughout the, you know, the more expensive tickets, there are tons of them left, and now they're offering 2-for-1 tickets at a lower price than what, you know, the one would have cost the day of. We were talking about the, hey, you want to go see AC/DC? It's $6 at the, you know, tickets at the end of the day are only going to be worth what people will pay for them. You know, I can sit here all day and say, oh, these Bills tickets are too expensive. Obviously not.
Right.
Because it's been this way for now 4 years, where it's tough to get into a Bills game that where it isn't, you know, frostbite danger level cold for under, you know, let's say $150, $200. And people still pay for it. It's wild.
I mean, come on. People were getting parking tickets because there weren't enough lots plowed out when they moved that playoff game against Pittsburgh to a Monday afternoon. Yeah. I mean, people were getting parking tickets. Like, that's the in demand. You know what I mean? That shows the in demand. People are willing to pay. But like you said, if it gets to a certain point, you know, when the Bills stop selling out, you know they've hit the limit. Right, that's just like the Bandits. When the Bills tickets are no longer being sold, they've hit the limit. The thing about George Strait, you can sit on the field now with the 2-for-1, cheaper than what people initially paid for the upper deck.
Yeah, it's rough. Pays to wait in a lot of cases.
Well, that's why, to Dave's point,
it's more of a music thing than a sports thing. But
to Dave's point, I mean, it is a risk, because let's say, you know, say he decides to go to the Tampa game and Tampa is awful, or I don't know, the Bills, I don't know what situation, yeah, but there could be something where that ticket actually gets cheaper as the season goes along.
Snowstorm.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't want to sit in the snowstorm.
Well, it's middle of November. Wouldn't be outrageous. Bud, you're on WBEN. Bud, what's going on?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Two quick things. One, you really can't lament a primetime schedule, because that would mean that the Bills would not be as successful as they are. Otherwise, I mean, I can remember years where the Bills did not have a single primetime game, and that's going back to just when it was Monday night was the only primetime game in town, and we didn't have any. So you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't have a 1 o'clock Sunday schedule and have a great team, which the Bills are. The other thing is, and I think it's actually more important, is for Joe, how do the later games and the home schedule bulk up to the Hokies' home schedule? I know there's a bunch of us that are dying to hear about that.
Hey, Bud, thank you. I will say, I can't have my cake and eat it too. You know, I'm old enough to remember when they didn't play on Thursday nights. You know, there's two added games, night games that you never had before a decade ago, or whenever they added Thursday night. Thursday night football was like three nights a year.
Yeah, it was more than a decade ago. I remember the Ken Dorsey game.
But
Thursday night?
They had a handful of them.
Yeah. Remember that game?
Now it's every single game, you know, all the time, Saturday night, whatever night. Like, I get it. I understand they're putting the bigger teams in this. It stinks for a fan. Like, it does. Like, that's the truth of it. It stinks. Like, do I want a good team? Yes. I wish that didn't come with all these primetime games that stinks for viewing, I think, for the average fan.
To Bud's point, there are a few night games that I will actually be back in town in time, so it works out for me. To Bud's point about comparing the schedules.
Yeah, but Joe loves him because now he can go to two games across multiple state lines in the same weekend. without having to break the speed limits enough where he's getting 15 traffic tickets on the way down. So it works out good for him. Back in the 90s, the Bills did reach that point. You know, they were still good, but the comeback game wasn't a sellout, right? Like they reached a point where people weren't going to the games as much as they used to. We haven't reached that point yet where even though they're good, people are balking at the price.
Well, and what did they do when they didn't sell that game? They didn't lower ticket prices. They tore down 10,000 seats. And what are they doing now? Before anything of that can happen, we're going down another 10,000 seats.
Well, there's a big part of it, too. The season ticket base is so, and the season ticket prices are nowhere near. Like, do you know your prices? Is it the same for every game, or does it fluctuate?
It's the same for every game. It's a set.
So the home opener, get in price, or the Eagles game, or the Chiefs game, $283 for the 300s top corner. Not far from your seats. $283 per ticket. What's your price per ticket for one of those games?
60.
So when you have that much of a... Your ticket is being sold at the box office. Like, not by a scalper bot or something like that.
Right.
Your ticket's being sold at the box office for over four times what you paid for it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So there's, a reason why, there is a scarcity because you have so many people who signed up to be like, all right, get me those rates.
Yeah.
Get me a four times discount on a Bills ticket. It's not going to be the same, though, when you move across the street. Like, we're talking more of a market rate ticket. Right now, the market rate that's the market rate at the box office, those bigger games, $283.
Isn't it crazy? So Dave Leventhal was on the waiting list for season tickets, got season tickets for this season. Not guaranteed tickets next year.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Low on the totem pole in terms of priority.
He got it for the final season, which I guess there's something to that, right? He's getting those cheaper prices for the final season at the new stadium. I mean, not cheap for Dave. He's got to get up here somehow. but not guaranteed tickets into the new stadium.
Well, yeah. Make the most of it for 1 year.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's such a big... And it's like for everyone who's telling me, oh, what are you talking about? Bills need to raise their ticket prices. It's amazing that they have not raised their season ticket price. Like, you hear the stories in Detroit.
Big raise this year. We did get I think they should have done it over the last 3 years but to get still, you ready for the cross the street, in my opinion.
But still. Are you talking about big raise going into next season?
No, there was a bigger raise than we had seen in the last decade
but it's going into still, this year.
But yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just saying I think they should have gradually done it leading into the new stadium.
The ticket that you is at worst for the least valuable game, you could resell that for three times its value.
Yeah, I know.
For the most valuable game, I mean, four, five, six times its value. Like, that's an underpriced ticket. Underpriced ticket compared to what people are paying for that. If they raise the price of tickets, you would not have a lot of season. If you're one of the people who go to games and are annoyed by all the visiting fans, if they raise the price of tickets, I don't think you'd have that many visiting fans because if I'm sitting here and I paid $60 for a ticket and I'm looking at $283 at the box office for a home opener, I mean, as much as I want to be at that game.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I just paid for my ticket basically for the whole year.
Yeah, I did that 1 year. The Titans season home opener, when it was on Monday night, my parents had gotten me tickets for my birthday. So I sold my seasons, and it paid for a full ticket. It paid for a full season in one seat.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
And then
you should be able to do that, but that's the how it's priced out.
Well, the Miami game that I had the FOMO, and I was upset with myself, that paid for a ticket and a half at the rates from 3 years ago.
It's wild. Crazy.
Yeah, and I'm already, to Bud's point about Virginia Tech, I'm already eyeing up two games that I'm selling this year.
I just wonder when that point is. Because that's the market right now. $155 to $283 is the get-in price for games at the Bills this season. Like, when is the point where people around here, and I don't think it's going to be this year, last year at the stadium. I don't think it's going to be next year, first year at the new stadium. And as long as the team's good, there's going to be like a floor there that's pretty high. But there's got to be a point where there's just nobody. Everyone's looking at that saying, to go to one game, and if you're probably buying two tickets,
right?
$600. Come on.
I mean, you look at next season. If you're smart, I mean, I plan on obviously going to a few, but you could probably pay up. I mean, if you're in the cheap seats like I am, most of your PSL by selling games from the last season at this stadium and the first season at the next stadium.
Yeah.
You could really.
I bet you a lot of people will do that.
Yeah.
I wasn't here yesterday at this time. My son was getting an award.
Congratulations.
Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Haven't sent the release out yet, so keep it on the DL.
No, it was a nice. So I went out and saw him get his award, Student of the Month,
nice.
Which I'm very proud of him. Went out for ice cream later in the day.
Nice, good.
To celebrate. But so I wasn't in here. How much did you talk about black t-shirts?
I didn't, because I went off on airlines yesterday, and people were calling me a whiner.
You know, you talk for so long on the radio. It's always going to sound like we're whining.
So my big
I
point
can whine about everything.
My point yesterday was you're paying more for tickets than you ever have, and to fly from Buffalo to D.C., you don't get the drink cart. I want a Diet Coke and pretzels. And, the flight's too short? I paid $200 to fly to... give me a freaking bag of pretzels.
Yeah.
So, and then the sitting on the tarmac seems like you're doing that more now than ever before.
Chuck them out.
And people said I was... But, you know, whatever. So that's what. So we did not get to the black t-shirts, to your point.
I agree. Black t-shirts, come on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, black t-shirts, this is it. More than 1,000 Starbucks baristas at 75 stores across the country were striking over the company's dress code.
The new dress code mandated by Starbucks requires baristas to wear a black shirt and either khaki, black, or blue denim bottoms. As it was before, the employees could wear a broader range of dark colors and patterned shirts. Starbucks says the new rules would make its green apron stand out and create a sense of familiarity for customers as it tries to establish a warmer, more welcoming feeling in its stores. But the Workers United Union says the dress code should be subject to bargaining. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is the reason that nobody will ever take you seriously.
Yes.
Like, this is the reason that nobody will ever take you seriously. You know, this started in Buffalo, the Starbucks union movement, and I think I've said from the beginning, you work in a store, you vote, you want to organize, like, more power to you. Like, that's great. You're going to be out in the public, you're going to be talking about this, just be prepared and be cognizant of what the reaction is going to be. I actually think it's, you know, you're in a period of time where it makes sense. Like, you might have the power. You hear over and over again from stores, we need people, we need people, we can't find enough people. You're actually there working. You kind of might have some power in this. Mm-hmm. Like, go, use it to your advantage. Way to go. They say, all right, we have dress code. You got to wear a black shirt under your thing. And you say, hell no. Like, that's the thing that everyone is going to look at and say, This is the dumbest union I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. No, I was telling you, this is the only job I've ever worked where I didn't have a dress code, right? I mean,
most jobs have, even if unwritten, even if it's very relaxed, there is a dress code.
Yes.
Of,
especially
like,
when you're in the eye. You're in the public eye the entire time you're on your shift.
Yeah. If not a mandated uniform. And at most places like this, if you're at a place that serves food, I think more often than not, you're in a mandated uniform.
Yeah, of course.
Most restaurants, if you're a server, if you're a bartender, if you're like doing the, again, not always going to be the case. Some places a little more relaxed. Especially if you're in a chain, though, you're in a mandated uniform.
And usually in a black shirt.
Yes. you're striking with the black shirt has gone too far. It's why no one's ever going to take you seriously.
No, I'm sorry. It's wear the black shirt, put the apron on, be happy that, you know, you got your higher wage, and go brew up some coffee. We've talked about this before. Nothing against Starbucks, but I think I make some pretty nice coffee. I don't need anything more than that. My cup of coffee I make in my old brewer at home, it's good.
I just want to support these people. Like, I really do. I want to be behind them.
Yeah.
But it was first, and I forget the name of the person who did this, but the person who typed out a resignation letter and sent it to the Associated Press, saying that they would no longer, you know, they cannot continue working. They worked 4 hours a week. They worked 4 hours a week at Starbucks and sent a resignation letter to the Associated Press. Joe, it's an all-time hilarious move, by the way, which I wish I had thought of when I quit my McDonald's job, sending my letter to the Associated Press. That's a bold move. That one, and now the striking over, I have to wear a black T-shirt, is, which a black T-shirt, by the way, in terms of, you know, mandated uniforms, pretty nice and relaxed.
Yes. Yeah. Let me just say this. You already are off on a bad foot with me because I don't like people who take themselves too seriously. Like, that's already a strike against you.
Yeah. You can have this union without taking yourself too seriously.
Of course. I'm not even going after that. Just don't take yourself so seriously. I brew my wife coffee every morning before I go to work. And guess what? I've never demanded a raise.
That's... At the end of the day, the job is not...
No offense, please, you know, don't come picketing the
studio.
You're
not Los Alamos building the bomb. Yeah. You know what I mean? We'll be both back here tomorrow. You got David Bellavia up next after the news with Lucas. B-Maz and Bieber on WBEN.